A number of years ago, before the new thrust of the new Walgreens and CVS's and so forth, there was a pharmacy that and a drugstore that really caught America. It was called Farmore. Anybody remember that? All right. And I mean, these big new drugstores everywhere, and they were making it big. I mean, it was one of the phenomena in America in the economic realm. And I was down in Chicago at that time, and they were everywhere, and they were a marvel, and everybody wrote about what a phenomenon they were. A couple of years later, boarded up. One of the greatest corporate tragedies of that era. Well, what happened? Well, the whole premise upon which they operated, only the president and his accountant knew. And as they made choices and were expanding and many other financial factors that I can't remember now that began to pile up, they were getting more and more into economic trouble. But from those who were closest to the president of that corporation said he refused to really acknowledge how bad it was giving. He was living in an escape mode, and his accountant was about to die. And they said when finally the board had to step in and say, we're done, it was only then that this executive finally really woke up to how he had mishandled and mismanaged that company, because he had sort of single-handedly done it. It was one of those unusual quick up and then quick down situations. But you know, we can so often not really be honest about the situation in our lives. Americans are escape artists. We don't like to solve problems. We don't like to face them. We don't like to be honest about the issues in our life. We allow ourselves so often to be deceived, and that's a tragic thing. One writer says, when an ostrich buries its head in the ground to avoid unpleasant facts, it not only represents an undignified spectacle, it also constitutes an irresistible target. And I thought, you know, that's exactly the way it is. When believers will not wake up to the sin problems and the other issues in their life, and they literally stick their head in the ground and will not let God work for whatever reason, they are an irresistible target for the evil one. And unfortunately, that's the case all too often. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1 as we continue our series looking at fellowship with a very real risen Savior. And here we have the Apostle John at the end of the first century, the last living apostle, the one whom Jesus loved, making it very clear, Jesus rose from the grave in a body, yet being God, and this is real. And all these attacks that Satan was beginning to present on the person of Christ, in just a couple of verses, the first two there in the prologue, he just smashes them. He said, our hands have handled. We have seen him. We have heard him. He is the eternal life. He was with the Father. He is God. He is man. He has resurrected. And because of this, we have fellowship with him. We have fellowship with one another. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I'm telling you, when Christians wake up to what they have in Christ, and when they wake up to what they have in spiritual fellowship with other people that love the Lord Jesus, you begin to realize in the midst of whatever situations in the world, we are blessed people, and our joy can be just overflowing all of the time, abounding. In our message last week, we looked at the fact that we can walk in the light. There is no darkness at all in the Lord. We can understand, we can have freedom, we can have a full unhindered relationship, and we can walk with one another, as verse 7 says. But if we, and now we're starting to deal with the deceptiveness, if we say we walk in the light, but we're in the darkness, we lie. See, the point here is you can't have light and darkness at the same time. And so either we're walking in the light or there are things that are not right in our lives, and therefore we don't have fellowship with God and we don't have fellowship with those who are also walking in the light. That unhindered, wonderful relationship. And by the way, folks, this is what prayer is all about. Prayer is staying in the light in an unhindered relationship with the Lord and then fellowshipping with others who are doing so, so that God's mighty will can be accomplished and there can be glorious fellowship that will strengthen and edify one another. That's the power of New Testament Christianity. And that leads us now to, are we going to be willing to be honest, or are we going to rationalize? Are we going to hold back, or are we going to take the wonderful privilege of confession? So let's look at three very familiar verses. Let me read them all together. We're going to look at 8 and then 10 and then end with the glorious verse that we, most of us, know by heart, verse 9. Beginning in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, folks, what we need to understand is that there is a normal predisposition because of our flesh, one way or the other, not to want to think of ourselves as sinners. Isn't that the biggest problem that you face when you go out witnessing? That very first point, all have sinned and come short of the whole glory of God. Now, any honest person knows they've sinned, but they don't want to think they're that bad. And it's not until we understand that we are bad enough, and all it takes is one sin to come short of the glory of God, but when we understand we're bad enough to have to suffer the judgment of hell, only then do we wake up that we need a Savior. And my friends, we've got to understand that we are still guilty because of the normal human reflexes of not wanting to admit sin and situations in our life that need to be dealt with. And so even some wrong thinking can come. And it's amazing, false teaching plays on this natural instinct that we have. So back to verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. There's not a person here that doesn't have the flesh anymore. I wish I could believe in the eradication of the flesh before we get to heaven. That'd be a glorious doctrine, but it's not true. We will battle that, but we are. Our spirit is regenerated. We're created in righteousness and true holiness. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, indwells us. I can have victory regularly over sin, but I have to have victory over sin because that sin principle is still there. And so what happens is that warning in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Beware of any kind of thought pattern that will cause you to minimize just getting right with God and being honest. You see, the glory is that we don't have to walk around being guilty. We can walk around being free all the time, but we got to admit we're a sinner. By the way, friend, you don't have to walk around wondering whether or not you're going to go to heaven. If you'll get right with God today and admit you cannot get there on your own, it's only through his finished work on the cross, you can be saved today. No need to be lost. There's no need to have uncertainty. And Christian, there's no need to walk around with all that burden. We can be free all the time, but we've got to be willing to admit it. Several things happened then that still happen today. It's this idea that if you pray and walk with God and have mystical experiences, normally is what they're thinking about. This was the Gnostic view of that day, is that there is this special superiority that Christians have, and that really you become so mature that you really are, you know, you're a godly Christian, and you really don't have to get right that much. Now, it's true, people can have victory, but the people that have victory are very humble about how much they need the grace of God. There is no smugness, and there is no sense that we are above this, but there is a real battle. Do you feel like you're too mature to ever have to make a public decision? Do you feel like you could never be open in a Bible study? Friend, we are what we are by the grace of God. And genuine, victorious Christians are not afraid to tell you it's God's grace that's done it. And they're also willing to be open when it's appropriate. So this is a danger. And so often I will find from Christians that are really afraid to open up, they'll say, well, you know, it's just for new Christians that need to get these things settled. Oh, no, The most godly people I know, when they've been saved 50, 60 years, they were still getting things right with God and very tender consciences and not afraid at all to admit they needed the Lord. In fact, the closer you get to God, the more you know you need Him. It's only when you're away from Him and don't know Him and you're not really walking with Him that you think you're okay. Now, you can have the glorious knowing you are cleansed, and we'll talk about that, but that kind of thing is a real danger. And then there's the dualistic thinking, and I don't have time to get into it, that was very predominant at the end of the first century, but it's just as predominant today. It's this, that if your spirit is in fellowship with God, since the flesh is evil, the body is evil, what you do with it, you can be right with God and do bad things in your body. Well, that may sound all right from a dualistic philosophical standpoint, but it's not biblical. The fact is that we are one person, and that when we sin, we have now sowed seeds of corruption, Galatians chapter 6. And there is no dualism that is taught in Scripture. And so we need to see the danger of this. Folks, you can't feel like, well, you know, I have a heart for God. I want to do right. So, you know I sin and all, but I'm really okay. Friend, if you're not getting that right, and if you're not really walking with God, and if you're not living humbly before God, you're in real trouble. And I guarantee you, spiritually, you aren't what you think you are. Because your spirit is injured all the time. But what you're doing is, and we're going to see this in the later verse, you're saying no to the Word of God, and you're denying what the Bible says. But, I only have a moment to apply this. There are evangelical churches that teach something quite similar. Just as long as you have a good heart and you're trying to serve the Lord, you know, you can just go ahead and partake in the world. It really doesn't make that much difference. Yes, it does. If we're a friend of the world, we're an enemy of God. Did you know that God's still holy today? And He still demands pure lifestyle? And He has all the power to do it? God hasn't changed. Oh, that verse in Romans 6:1, you know, should we sin so that grace may abound? God forbid. My friends, we need to take God's side. Sin is sending people to hell. Sin is destroying families. It's destroying personal lives in every way possible. And so we must not excuse sin. And then there's just that natural inclination not to want to think how seriously wicked sin is. You know, one of the things that really helps me is whenever sin happens, I just realize my Savior suffered for that. Presumptuous sin means I don't really care He had to suffer. If you really know the Lord, you realize sin is awful. And I cannot tolerate it or make light of it. Now I can be forgiven and I can go on. I don't have to go through a Baptist purgatory. You know, or do evangelical penance. I can be free right now. But my friends, it ought to grieve me. God, grieve me to the core of my spirit. When Howard Carter and his associates found the tomb of King Tut, they opened the casket and found another casket within it. They opened the second, which was covered with gold, and found a third. Inside the third casket was the fourth made of gold. The Pharaoh's body was in that one, wrapped in gold cloth with a gold face mask. Everything looked so beautiful. I've seen all of that, and wow. I mean, that's amazing. But when they unwrapped it, the body, mummified body, it was not a very pretty sight. I've seen pictures of that. And the face was leathery and shriveled. Folks, sin is just ugly. We can sure think we're looking good, but we need to realize how ugly it is. The Apostle Paul, near the end of his life in Romans 7, talking about how that we have to deal with sin according to the law and that there is victory in Jesus Christ, he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" He was not afraid. As the leader, as the apostle who was forming the churches in the Gentile world, he was not afraid to write that under inspiration, "O wretched man that I am." And my friend, people that love God agree with God, and the fact is sin is terrible and sin is real, and we have the flesh till we die, and we have got to not minimize it, and we need to rejoice that the provision is there all the time, but we must live in the light, we must walk in the light, we must fellowship in the light, we must have a relationship with God, because the world needs Christians who are walking with God, not with the death shroud of sin that they have been saved from still wrapping their life. Wherefore, take heed. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. So, we need to understand that we must not, we're deceiving ourselves. And folks, we are deceiving ourselves. We must be responsible for this. We are fooling ourselves is what this is saying. It's no one else's. Oh, sure, we can read wrong books or have wrong teaching given to us, but we all know we're sinners. A person who's religious and not saved yet and thinking they're okay enough to get to heaven are deceived. They know down deep they need a Savior. And my friends, we're deceived. We must take responsibility for that. And you know, so easy for us. The father was really just upset about the amount of time his family was spending on the television. The children were watching cartoons and all kind of programs. It really concerned him about it, and they were neglecting their schoolwork. His wife preferred soap operas and all kinds of other things to doing what she should do, and he just said, all right, enough is enough. As soon as the baseball season's over, I'm going to pull the plug. Rather humorous look at the hypocrisy so often that we have. We can even see it. He knew it. But then, not me. This quote by D.L. Moody, I think, is so good. Here it is. One of the sickening things about self-deception is that it leads to the sophisticated assumption that others are as blind to our sins as we are. But this is never so. You can act like everything's okay, but spiritual people, they don't want to judge, but they just know. Light or darkness. And then we can fool ourselves that, we didn't get caught. Everything's okay. A man was filling out a job application and said, have you ever been arrested? And he put down no. And then it's just a simple word, why? Well, the why was for if you had answered that you had been arrested. But he didn't get that, and so he answered, never got caught. Oh, that we would be that honest, even accidentally. So it doesn't matter whether you got caught or not. Sin is sin. God's omniscient. God's omnipresent. Folks, it's self-deception, and we know it. And guess who's the one suffering? We are, and God is, because we're not in a place that God can use us. Now, we've got to hop down very quickly here to verse 10. Now let's look at how this is condemned by God's revelation. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, who? God, a liar, and his word is not in us. My friends, the serious thing about this, if we think we're okay and we don't need to be getting right all the time, and that this walk with God doesn't really demand openness, transparency, and honesty, and constantly receiving the grace of God to get back in fellowship. If these things don't matter at all, and we think we're okay, well, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time, I'm doing pretty well. Well, this is a pretty strong ending to this passage. If we say that we're not sinning, if we have not sinned, we're saying God's a liar. Boy, that doesn't get any stronger than that, folks. See, God had Paul say, "O wretched man that I am, the things that I would do, I don't do, and the things I should do, I shouldn't do, I do." Yet he had victory. I mean, you can have regular victory, folks, day after day after day. It's glorious if you're walking with the Lord. But once you get into self-dependence and start thinking you're okay, you're not having victory. And when you act like everything's okay, wow, you're a liar. But what you're saying is that God is a liar. Yes, we are to be doers of the words and not word and not hearers only. We'll deceive our own selves. But what's very bad about this is that we are not taking heed to the fact that God's word says otherwise. Now, folks, we face a fork in the road all the time. whether we're going to go with our thinking or if we're going to have enough courage and enough love for God to go the full biblical route of really being in a place that we agree totally with God's word. Now, I want you to get this. When we are not willing to take all of God's word, we're afraid of conviction. We're afraid of what it may make us look like. We're afraid of maybe the consequences of dealing with some things. What we're doing is pushing our sensitivity to the word farther and farther away. We are letting man's thinking and our rationalizations become strong to salve our consciences. And we lose the glory that this is indeed the word of the living God. Yale completely believed the word of God. They had a gospel group, just like our ensembles go out in 1825. The president, Timothy Dwight, in 1814 said, "Christ is the only, the true, the living way of access to God. Give up yourselves, therefore, to him with a cordial confidence, and the great work of life is done." Can you imagine a college president of Yale saying that today? What happened? Got farther and farther away from the word. You see, folks, the reason we still remember men as men that walked with God is like John Wesley speaking of himself, looking into his own heart, "I see nothing but hell." John Bunyan said, "I saw John Bunyan as God saw John Bunyan. I did not say I was a sinner. I said that I was a sin. I was sin from the top of my head to the soles of my feet." Dr. Samuel Johnson, "I've never yet read of a crime, but what I too might have committed that crime." You see, Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 said, "You know, I can't even speak to you like adults. I have to give you milk as babies because you're carnal. You are not submitted to the word of God." Now, please listen to me. If we continue not to deal with sin and what God wants for us on a regular basis, we're going to have to start twisting scripture, taking some scripture out, making ourselves the authority, pulling away from getting under conviction, making choices that are escapes, and we are going to be in a place in which we actually, if we don't watch out, could turn from the word of God for a period of time. That, for a believer, is the most horrifying thought that you could ever have, that that would happen. Well, it doesn't, though. What's the whole point? Let's go back to verse 9. If we confess our sins, why not? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God's people said, amen. That's all. You got to do better than that. And God's people said, amen. Today, every sin can be forgiven. Your defilement can be cleansed. You can walk in the light. The salvation you have can explode in your life. If you're willing to be honest, if you're willing to believe God, if you're willing to not hold on to things and think it's better to go with your own thinking. You didn't get saved until you admitted you were a sinner. And you're not going to go forward in the Christian life until you admit, "I'm a sinner. Oh, wretched man that I am." A sinner that can have great victory. We can be more than conquerors because of this verse. And so a person walking in the light evidences that by agreeing with the God of the word. Look what this says, if we confess. This is the only time this is ever given for dealing with sin. It is usually the public confession of truths about God. And so what we have here is if we agree with God about him, and therefore about what we're doing, and even if it's appropriate to be open about it, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, this, we always will be forgiven. Folks, you know you've gotten right when you just don't care what the consequences are. You just got to get right. That's, Dr. Jim has a very sophisticated theological expression. You unload the truck. Yeah, you need to mark that down. I mean, you just clear the deck. I mean, you just, you don't care. You just want God. That's when you're getting somewhere. Because there's enough grace to meet every need. There's enough wisdom to have victory. There's enough power to keep on with God. There isn't any need to live in that darkness anymore. And God will restore you to fellowship with the God of light. Oh, that cry in Ephesians chapter 5 that ends with walk in the Spirit, he says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Now, folks, he's faithful. His character demands that if you're honest with him, if you agree with him about the sin, he is always, because he is the immutable, faithful God, he will forgive your sins. It's based on the finished, completed, glorious work of Jesus Christ. And he's just. Now, how can he forgive sins when justice demands punishment? Punishment has already been made. Friends, when God the Father sees you and you come to him and you realize your life is not matching your salvation, and you say, Lord, I grieve, I agree with you. I'm sick and tired of my own way. I know there's deliverance. I call this sin because you call it sin. Jesus doesn't see you. He sees Jesus. I mean, God the Father doesn't see you. He sees Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ has already covered you, and you're forgiven. He looks to the Savior, and the Savior just simply nods. That's glorious. There's not one sin. I don't care how hideous that sin may have been. It can be forgiven. And friends, when you go and you agree with God about your sin, you get rid of this idea of trying to think you're okay and you're not, and deceiving yourselves and really denying God's word, but getting right to what the word of God says, it is wonderful to know you are forgiven. And folks, you are. And you need to go out from that prayer time and that openness and claim the clean heart, the forgiven heart, and God's going to restore you. And I love that. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He'll restore us. Just like you're transformed when you're saved, he will continue to transform you. Let me end with this thought from D.L. Moody. Unconfessed sin is unforgiven sin. An unforgiven sin is the darkest, foulest thing on this sin-cursed earth, especially for believers. Let me say it one more time. Unconfessed sin is unforgiven sin. And unforgiven sin is the darkest, foulest thing on this sin-cursed earth. Would you agree with God today? Let's don't deceive ourselves. Let's don't make him a liar. Let's just take the wonderful provision. Let's just get down and be honest. Aren't you glad he's ready to just embrace you and get back to walking with you if you'll just be open with him? What a great God. Let's all walk out of here in darkness. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord, oh friend, you're here today and you'd say, oh pastor, I remember, oh God dealt with me and I realized I was headed to hell. I had no hope. Then I realized Jesus paid for my sin and he rose again and I could have salvation and I trusted him. And at that moment, it was glorious. I knew I was going to heaven and my sins were forgiven. Oh, God wants that in a regular way now. Is it a little dark? You've been rationalizing. Too hard to deal with that. Don't really want to let go of that. You know, you're okay. You know, you've been around a while. You don't really have to be that honest. But you know there's not power. There isn't that relationship. There isn't that sweet blessing. And you realize that the word of God's lost its punch. It's lost its power. And that's a terrible thing. We should be walking every day in the light of his word that changes us and changes us and changes us. And you'd say, Pastor, I just want to get a hold of that glorious verse 9. I'm tired of walking without total freedom. This is just not pleasing to him, and it's certainly not right. I've been saved. I need to live that way. You may look really good. that there are some things you need to get right with God. You'd say, Pastor, absolutely, God has dealt with me, and I'm not going to let those rationalizing, deceitful thoughts come. I'm going to just be honest, like Paul was honest. I need him. I need to get cleared out. I need the Lord more than anything else. I need to put my pride under. I just need to believe God in this matter of having victory. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up if God has specifically dealt with you here today? God bless you. Thank God for your openness here. Thank you. Amen. Just the lifting of the hand can be greatly helpful. Anyone else? You say, I've been hiding, or thinking I'm okay. Yes, God bless you. But I want that wonderful walk in the light. What a privilege to walk with the Savior. Oh, would you pray for me? Anyone else? God's working. How many here would say, you know, Pastor, you mentioned several times about being just not really understanding that I'm sinful enough that I won't get to heaven on my own. And that's troubled me. I'm not certain if I were to die, I'd be in heaven. And I realize it's the blood of Jesus. It's something more than me. And I'd love to have that joy of knowing I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, would you pray for me here today? With head still bowed, would you just slip your hand up? We'll pray for you along with these others. We won't point you out, but oh, what a joy it would be to pray for you. God will work. God bless you. Amen. That's wonderful. Anyone else? I'm just going to admit, I've been looking to myself. I realize if I look to myself, I'm in trouble. I need God. I need to know how he can save me, what Christ did. Would you pray that I can get this settled? I really would ask that you'd pray that the Spirit of God would make this very real for me. Anyone else? God's working in your heart. Just be open, just like these many others. Listen, nothing longer than eternity, my friend. If God's working in your heart, I encourage you to get that settled. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen these hands that represent hearts that are endeavoring to be honest with you. Would your Spirit enable them to truly be honest and then receive fully by faith the forgiveness, the cleansing, the reconciliation, the transformation, Lord. For this one that is burdened about salvation, may this be the morning. Oh, would it be a glorious time of victory there as salvation is received. So, Lord, would you work mightily in hearts and lives now, in Jesus' name, amen.